When we die, some people say we go to heaven. Others state that we go to the grave. Malin Search examines the biblical evidence. His article, After Death, Then What?, originally appeared in the March 2020 edition of Signs of the Times. Your narrator is Joshua Kittleson. Twin caskets lie side by side beneath the prairie sod in a little cemetery near Rockham, South Dakota. In one lies my shy, godly father, who, as a Great Depression teen, plowed farm fields 20 miles south of here. Beside him rests my mother, who had a less strenuous childhood. In the next county north, she earnestly practiced circus horsemanship tricks while herding cows. "Doesn't it make you feel strange?" my brother asked me on an icy February evening after Dad's funeral. Here we are in this warm farmhouse living room, and he's out there in the cold ground. Though both of us really knew our father could no longer feel the cold, we shuddered and stared longingly into the dark, mysterious afterlife. What happened to Mom's three-ring circus personality? Where is Dad's humble, dependable spirituality? Are my beloved parents gone forever like breath from a mirror? Are they disturbed spirits roaming through some dark forest, and should I be worshiping them along with my other ancestors? Or are they somewhere up there, looking down on me, thrilling to my joys and feeling my pain? It's no wonder we're so obsessed with the afterlife. After all, God designed us to live forever, so He didn't program our brains to accept death. Death is so unsettling to us that if we don't have facts about what happens next, we quickly invent some. But the good news is that the same God who gave us life tells us clearly what happens when we die. Remember your high school algebra? Try to spot the equation in this story problem located in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Did you see the equation? Dust plus breath equals a living being. Does this formula hold true at life's end? Yes, it does. Wise King Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, that the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Hold on a second, someone says. Tell me more about that spirit that goes back to God. Isn't that the conscious, immortal soul that lives on forever after the body dies? Not necessarily. What you may not be aware of is that there are two Hebrew words for breath. One is neshama, which is the word in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and the other is ruach, which is the word in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. Now, ruach has a variety of meanings, including spirit, but often the word spirit means a person's attitude. So just because Ecclesiastes uses the word that can mean spirit, doesn't mean that it does refer to a disembodied, intelligent being. Solomon is actually just telling us that the process for death is the reverse of the process for life. The life equation was dust plus breath equals a living being. Therefore, dust minus breath equals a dead being. However, God built into our minds a strong life wish. He's also given us an awesome imagination. Here's another equation. A strong life wish plus a great imagination equals a powerful myth factory if we aren't careful. And especially when it has to do with matters of life and death, the result can easily lead us to draw wrong conclusions. The Apostle Paul makes no bones about it. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15 and 16, that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal. So, if deity alone has immortality, this means that human spirits or souls don't. And sure enough, the Bible never once speaks about the soul being immortal. It never uses the words immortal soul. Yet Paul, in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, encourages us to seek for immortality, and it even tells us that this immortality will be given to God's faithful people at the resurrection. We will not all sleep, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 53, but we will all be changed, in the flash, in a twinkling of an eye, and at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. But today, 20 centuries later, brows furrow. Let me get this straight. Somebody says, does this mean that nobody goes to heaven when they die? That's right. Aside from a few Bible saints whom I've mentioned in the sidebar following this article, no other human being has gone to heaven. We get hints of this surprising truth from one of Peter's sermons. David, he says in Acts chapter 2, verse 34, did not ascend to heaven. The harp-strumming psalm singer knew this too, because he wrote in Psalm chapter 6, verse 5, in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? Similarly, one of his fellow psalm writers said in Psalm chapter 115, verse 17, the dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence. David's son, Solomon, who is the author of Ecclesiastes, was clear-eyed about this subject. The living know that they will die, he said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. But the dead know nothing. They have no further reward, and even their name is forgotten. Their love, their hate, and their jealousy have long since vanished. Never again will they have part in anything that happens under the sun. But praise God, that is not the end. Back in the most distant reaches of the Old Testament, in Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, the truth of the resurrection shone brightly. I know that my Redeemer lives, said Job, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. And it's fitting that we should give the last word on this subject to our loving Creator, the Savior himself. What happens when you die? Jesus gave the answer in John chapter 11, verses 11 through 14, when he learned that Lazarus, a close friend of his, had died. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, he told the disciples gently, but I am going there to wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know the rest of the story. 4 days later, Jesus stood facing Lazarus's tomb. Lazarus, come out, he called. And Lazarus came to life, blinking in the light and struggling with his grave clothes. That great voice gives me hope as I think about those silent caskets beneath the South Dakota prairie where my parents lie sleeping. Often as farm kids, they would tumble into a sound sleep after a busy day, knowing nothing until the alarms ring the next morning. A wise and merciful God has granted them just as dreamless a sleep until his glorious resurrection morning is described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we, who are still alive, and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Praise God for his wisdom and his glorious hope. Sidebar. Who's in heaven today? The Bible tells us about three human beings who we can be sure are in heaven today. Enoch lived very early in Earth's history, before the flood. The Bible says that he walked faithfully with God, and he was no more because God took him away. Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. Genesis doesn't clarify what this means. However, in the New Testament, we learn that Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Obviously, if Enoch did not experience death, then he is still alive, either in heaven or perhaps on a planet in some other part of the universe. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who lived in the kingdom of Israel during the reign of the wicked King Ahab. The Bible says that in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, that while he was out walking one day with his associate Elisha, a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 17, verses 2 and 3, confirms this story because Elijah was one of the two people that came down from heaven to speak with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses is also in heaven because he appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah, as recorded in Matthew chapter 17. Enoch and Elijah were taken to heaven without experiencing death. But Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5 and 6 say that Moses died in Moab, and God buried him there. Obviously, if Moses died, yet was alive with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, then at some point he was resurrected. And the New Testament in Jude chapter 9 suggests this. The archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not himself dare to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Apparently Michael, who some interpreters associate with Jesus, planned to resurrect Moses, but Satan claimed him as his own. Michael refused to argue with Satan, though. He just took over and resurrected him in spite of Satan's objections. These are the three people we know are in heaven today. There's one other possibility. According to Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, when Jesus died, the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. The Bible doesn't say who these holy people were. Some Bible students have suggested that they were all the saints from the time of Adam who had been martyred. What happened to them after they went to Jerusalem? Again, the Bible doesn't say. However, it would be strange for God to resurrect them and then leave them to die again. It seems reasonable to conclude that at some point, God took them to heaven.